Well, let me tell you just a word, because about half of you know me and about half of you don't. So we were the Bible College directors at Calvary Cathedral International Church for the last 12 years. And just this year, starting in about May, I guess, well, we changed to become we are Andrew Womack's ministry in Fort Worth. Yay. Yeah, so it's called Charis Fort Worth, and you think, well, Bible college, one Bible college to another. It's not that simple. It is a tremendous change for us, like Janet was saying, that we're having to take on stuff that we never did in our past 12 years. Learn new things, which isn't bad. I mean, it's great, but it's a challenge. And Pastor Mark said that we're always in the Word. Well, we're more in the Word now, because part of our assignments, well, is we have to read the Bible through as our homework or schoolwork or something. So that's on top of taking 3 years' worth of Andrew Womack courses this year. So it's a lot, yeah. Plus having to learn a lot about accounting, which I never knew nothing about accounting and didn't want to know anything about accounting, and just stuff like that. But anyway, hallelujah, the Word of God is still the Word of God. And I have a word for you tonight. Well, you know, whether it fits you exactly, I don't know that. God knows, and He gave it to me, and this is the time, and so this is the place. So get ready, and if it doesn't fit you perfectly tonight, it might tomorrow. But I think it will even tonight. So turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is one of my books, that and Colossians, so if I don't know where to preach, we'll go to 2 Timothy. Okay, this is right after the famous verses, chapter 1, where Paul had to do a little correction on Timothy, because he was trying to act out his natural shyness. You know, I just don't have the strength like you do, Paul. I just can't do that. I can't be that. And so instead of Paul saying, oh, I understand and I feel for you, he basically said, straighten up. Yeah. He said, you don't have the spirit of fear upon you. So just quit claiming it, that spirit of timidity. Well, Paul, come on, shut up. You got the spirit of power on you. You got the spirit of love on you. You got the spirit of a sound mind. So God's Word can change our personality. Hallelujah. And sometimes they need changing. But anyway, it's right after that, so we'll just assume that Timothy immediately received his correction. And go on down to verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Okay, the real, if there were a title to this message, it is The Treasure Within. God wants you to know, He wants me to know, He wants us to know just what that is that dwells in us that He calls a treasure. Now, if God calls it a treasure, I'm not going to say, well, you know, I just kind of got saved and it's a... God called it what it is. He has put within us a treasure. And then He does worse. He puts the pressure over on us and said, now you guard it. you take care of it. So guard through the Holy Spirit. Now he gives us the helper who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. God saw something he's put in me, in you, that is such that he calls it a treasure. Great value upon it. Glory to God. God doesn't have any junk. In fact, everything that he's got has purpose. So that treasure within me, that treasure within you, has got a purpose. Oh yeah, hallelujah, we're going to go to heaven. No, we're not getting the fullness of the treasure if that's all we're thinking. Now thank God we're going to heaven. Praise God. That's obviously number one. But God is seeing much more in this word treasure than just a fire insurance. And if he can get me to seeing what he sees, we're going to go somewhere. Now, God's idea of a treasure is something that'll bless you and bless everybody you touch. This morning, I think it was, maybe yesterday morning, I just happened to have the song come across my spirit, and so I was singing it out about, you know, when he walks in the room, everything changes. Glory to God. And then I shifted it over. No, when I walk into the room, everything changes. Now, some of you may, well, you arrogant thing, you. That's what it's all about. He said there's a mystery of the gospel, and it's Christ in you. And I need to learn to live like Christ, the anointing, the anointed one, lives in me. And so, when I walk into the room, everything ought to change. And if it doesn't, I'm not taking care of the treasure that's within, that I've just yielded back over to life, which has a way of eroding the power upon us. So, God has, well, he showed it back there with Abraham. He said, I am making you a blessing. And then I'm going to make you a blessing, that all the people of the earth will be blessed by you. Well, that has just gone on down to the church, that we're supposed to be a blessing to our world. Amen. Not trying to be, not, well, I hope I get there someday. No, it's a matter of just receiving it today. You can't earn it. It's like the salvation, you can't earn it. But you can receive it. If you see it in the Word, you can receive it. Hallelujah. So he says he has entrusted that to us for utilization, not hoarding. He's entrusted some, God has entrusted something to me. I sure don't want to get to the end and he say, well, you didn't do much with it. But he's entrusted something to me. What a treasure. Something he calls a treasure and gives it to me to be valued, even enhanced. Build upon the value of it. In maybe across the page, but no, it's back a page in my Bible. 1 Timothy 4:14. Says, do not neglect the spiritual gift that's within you. So it's the same idea that he has put something in us and tells us, now don't neglect it. If you neglect it, the idea is that it's not going to accomplish all it's supposed to accomplish. Praise God, these lights are so bright I can't see the clock. However, when people start walking out, I generally take a hint, you know, that maybe I've gone my time. But the source of this treasure and the strength of it, he tells us really in verse 14, that it's the, back in 2 Timothy, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. So it came by the Word of God. Everything that we get from God is going to come by the seed of His Word. And so His seed has produced something in you and me that He calls a treasure. And it has a God standard on it. Now, I always assume God's standard is higher than mine until I get up to His standard. And so His Word has offered to us a standard to walk by, to live by, to bless by. And He says, now you retain the standard of it. Don't let it diminish. Don't let it get away. Thus the treasure, its source, its strength is the living Word. Now, won't go to these scriptures, but 1 Peter 1:3 says that we have a living hope in Him. Now, I don't have time to preach that. That's a whole message God gave me one time about a living hope, meaning that I just keep looking forward to life. I expect the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I have a living hope. And the fact that it's living is it keeps on going. It doesn't ever diminish, never quits, never stops. Well, it's got to have some kind of a basis to it. And then I can go to another scripture in Hebrews and see that that living hope is based upon a living Word. Hebrews 4:12, that His Word is living. It'll do things in you that a textbook won't do. When you're down, when you need comfort, when you need encouragement, that's not the time to go read Shakespeare. He got nothing for you. Just read the Bible. And it's amazing because there's power in this living Word. Okay, so we've got a living Word, but then I can also find in Hebrews 3:12, he says, be careful that you don't depart, any of you, be careful that you don't depart from the living God. Now, to depart from the living God doesn't mean you get unsaved or anything like that. It just means you lose sight of who it is that lives in you. Lose sight of the treasure that He has put within us. Hallelujah! He has put a working, lively Word within us. So we have a living hope. If you don't like your conditions now, you could have it better. If you can just find that living Word, which was spoken by a living God. So my living hope is based on a living Word spoken by a living God. And hallelujah, it'll make me alive when I start getting cold, when I start getting cool, dead to spiritual things. Let the Word of God come in and do what it can do. It's a treasure. Okay, now I want to look a little more at this treasure that's within us. A word was spoken in Isaiah, said that God said to Isaiah, I think, maybe to somebody else, but that I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. I got something within me that is hidden riches. Now, obviously, from what I've been saying, I'm not supposed to keep it to myself, but a lot of folks do. That's got the real thing inside, the treasure inside, but for whatever reason, don't ever let it get out to bless their world. Well, that's not going to be me, and that's not going to be you, because I'm just speaking a word to you tonight by the Holy Spirit that will set somebody on fire. I don't have to be the greatest preacher, don't have to be that. All I need, my assignment is to speak a word that'll come to you when you wake up in the night. That'll just change you just how much ever, as much as you'll let it. Okay, so this treasure that we have, these treasures of darkness, first of all, salvation. Well, hallelujah, we're all saved. Okay, that said hallelujah with the wrong emphasis. It's glory to God, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Now that's enough, except most people, I don't know whether most people, many people, don't have much of a clue as to the depth of this treasure of salvation. Because in the word itself, in the Greek, it means more than just sins forgiven. It means you're healed. Well, hallelujah, I don't know about that. Just believe me. It does. Look it up. It means healed, delivered, complete, free. Now, do you know any Christians that are living short of that? Don't shake your head. Of course. Well, that just ought to light me up to let me know there's a treasure inside and we're pursuing the fullness of it. Not satisfied just to, well, you know, I just live like everybody. We're not supposed to live like everybody else. We're supposed to change our domain wherever we have influence. And it doesn't always have to be preaching, doesn't always have to be talking. When I walk in the room, everything changes. Everything. And you know what? It does it more the more I say it. Okay, glory to God. We're saved and we're pursuing the fullness of our salvation. But there's another part of the treasure that is to dwell within us. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether I'm supposed to say that here or not, but I said it. And there's no hooks coming out to get me or nothing. No, I know Pastor and Carmen believe in this. And whether you like it or not, it's part of the Bible, and we need to experience and walk in it. It's not to divide the church, it's to increase the church, to increase the blessing. So, you know, if you've been taught against that or anything like that, just cool it for tonight and read the Bible. Yeah, it's in there. And it's a blessing. It's part of the treasure. Now he said, honor it as a treasure and guard it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. And he gives all kind of reasons why we ought to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Can't do that tonight. I'm just on 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Okay, dwelling in my spirit, in that treasure that's in my spirit, are all the promises of God, are yes and amen. If I can find a promise, I can't say, well, that's not for me. They're all yes and amen. Well, I know people that are sick. Christians that are sick. I know Christians that are dwelling far below the, well, basically under the curse of the law, but going to heaven. Well, I'm sorry about that, but I'm not going to join up with them when I have seen something else. I have seen a treasure that dwells within me. Hallelujah. The treasure of Him. He said there's a mystery to it. It's Christ in you. And He dwells in our spirit. Okay, hallelujah. So all the treasures of God's promises are within us. That's part of our treasure. He said, now guard it. Guard this treasure. If He says for us to guard it, it must be somebody trying to get it. All right, one more that I want to throw in is all the attributes of Jesus dwell in you. Well, what are the attributes of Jesus? Well, they could pretty well be summed up by the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and whatever else. Boy, I sure wish I had more joy. It's in you. A scripture in Isaiah says, draw water out of the well of salvation. It's down inside, and it'll stay there unless I draw it up. But I can draw it up. Peace. Nobody can have peace in this present world. Wrong. Janet and I can. The rest of you can take care of yourself. No, I speak the word. This is a word for anybody, everybody that's born again. That there's a treasure in me, and if I will appreciate it and draw it out, it'll manifest in my life. Long time ago, I didn't plan to say this, but God gave me a word, a scripture that just has really molded my life that those of you that's heard me a lot always hear it. It's the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter. Well, we know from 2 Corinthians, we are the righteous. And so if I hang on to that verse, no matter what goes on around me, I can draw upon that scripture and it'll change my surroundings, my expectations, such that even when things are not pretty, I just know they're going to turn around because my path always gets brighter. So glory to God. It works for me. Matthew 13:44 said that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that found a treasure in a field, and when he found that, he went and sold everything that he had to buy that field. Now, basically, that's what we need to do with this treasure that dwells within us is, I'm not gonna let anybody, anything, steal that treasure that's within me or even dilute it, which the whole thing is written there about guard the treasure that's within. Must mean somebody's after it. Well, there is somebody. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you've got so much potential in you, but the devil has come to steal it. In fact, some of you will even get potential tonight just from hearing the Word of God. And it is possible for the devil, well, he comes to steal the Word. I mean, I know you get Word all the time, and so I don't expect you to next week, oh yeah, Brother David said this. I really don't care about that. What I do care about is that you receive tonight that God's got a good thing inside you, not that you're trying to get, it's in there, but I don't want to let it get stolen or diluted or anything like that. I want to draw upon what God has for me. So I must do what I, obviously we've got to do something. That part's in there. You guard it. You retain the standard of sound words. Don't let them start meaning less than what they really mean. Don't let your circumstances cheat you out of the promises of God. God said what He meant to say, and if I will take that, then it will work in my life. So retain the standard of sound words. Now, another treasure that we have that I really didn't mention, but I want to go there, is the treasure of healthy relationships. That is a treasure. Glory to God. If you've got healthy relationships, you ought to rejoice. If you don't, rejoice because you know that you can have it. God wants us to have it. If I don't have relationships in general, well, I am imprisoned in the condition I'm in right now. As I look back over my life, every major change was brought about by a relationship. God sent somebody into my life with a word, with a something that changed me. It can work in the wrong direction too, but I thank God that He has sent healthy relationships into my life that changes me to where He wants me to be so that I can have it ever getting brighter. David is a good example of it, that he had relationships, not all long and not all good, but they got him where God needed him. Goliath was a short relationship, but it certainly put him where he couldn't have gotten to otherwise, brought him right out into the spotlight of the nation. Okay, so then he's brought over into the place of, my goodness, Samuel, the prophet Samuel, anointed me to be king, and I don't know nothing about being king, and besides, there's somebody in the way. Saul. Okay, David, just cool it. Just rest. Just wait. If God said it, He will do it. And then he sent a relationship into David's life. Jonathan, somebody that should not have been a friend of David's, because David was out to get Jonathan's job. Except Jonathan didn't care. He was sent to help David learn how to act like a king. And then God would take care of Saul. Anyway, we've got to treasure healthy relationships. Jesus Himself said, now watch out, because offenses will come. They just will. And church is an excellent place for offenses to rise. I'm saying offenses, not fences. However, they'll arise anywhere there's more than one person gathered together. They can. But anyway, if I'm afraid of bad relationships starting, I am likely to cut off the good relationships. So you can't not go to church because somebody might get offended. Just know that they will come. Now, what's the purpose of offense? Well, from the devil, it's to get your eyes off of the treasure that dwells within you so that I'll forget who I am in God and start thinking about this person over here, that person over there. Had something come up that was almost turning into a little offense, if there is a little offense. It was to get me off of God's perfect walk. But we have students, and we have one that made, in my opinion, a very bad decision. I'm not going to really tell you what it, I mean, that's, you don't need to know that, and it's not, wouldn't seem like a bad deal. But what the deal was, it cost, let me make that ongoing, it costs Janet and me 10 hours a week. Now that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's a big deal. Every week I know this one person is costing us 10 hours. That means two nights a week we gotta go spend 5 hours with this person, and I was getting a little bit offended about it. God, that's not right. Now, he didn't say all this, but he could have said, I know it. However, here's what I did hear from the Lord about it. He said, looks like you're taking account of a suffered wrong. Now, if you're not familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, that's one of the tenets of love. That love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Well, I was suffering and I was taking account. Looks like somebody's got to change, God. Now, we know he won't. And at the moment, she won't. There's nobody left but me. So, God, I know I've got to get back on the love walk. I mean, she's a nice person, but you can be offended with nice people. Okay, if I get unoffended by this, you mean everything will suddenly change? Probably not. You mean it's going to go on costing us 10 hours a week? Probably, at least for the near future. Okay, now what's the big deal about this? As long as I am carrying that or anything else against somebody, I have lost sight of that treasure that dwells within me. The power that could help somebody else has taken a back seat to, dadgummit, I gotta go again for 5 more hours tonight. There's a devil loose. There's a thief walking about seeking somebody to devour. He can't devour me totally, but he can sure devour my effectiveness of letting, spreading out the treasure that God has put within me. So that's the big deal about offenses. It just diverts your attention from who you are in Christ and what you've got in Christ, what he has done for you in Christ. I mean, you can walk triumphantly every day. Not just can, ought to. Now, this word won't be enough to deliver you. It's something you gotta carry on. Gotta keep on going with God. Today, I bow my knee to you. Today, I walk in your love. Today, I refuse offense. Today, I refuse to let anybody get between me and my treasure. I just want to let the treasure out and do some good to people. Praise Jesus. So I'm taking no account of a suffered wrong. Won't go here because time's just about gone, but in Mark 6, there's the story of where Jesus could do no mighty work in his hometown, and the whole reason is because the people took offense at him. And it's crazy. I mean, they were amazed at the miracles that were happening at his hands and the words that were coming out of his mouth. They were, this is God, this is supernatural stuff. But in the next breath, they think, that's Joseph's boy. And it says they got offended about it. Now, the only way you can do that is you just flat make a decision. They had already decided he's doing miracles, but we're deciding we're not going to pay any attention to it because that's Joseph's boy. It's that easy, but it's also that easy to make a decision. I am not going to sweat that kind of stuff. I am going to take in the Word of God, which is feeding my spirit with good stuff, and I'm going to be a blessing in my world. Hallelujah. Okay, last one. How to put energy into any particular relationship. Colossians 3:12 says, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, all right, does that fit? Okay, you better shake your head yes, or we'll have an altar call. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Thank God it doesn't say you got to feel these things. Just put them on. In other words, you want to enrich your relationships? Exercise the love of God. Intentionally. I will love this lady. I do love her. Not her. She's no problem. I'm talking about the one that's the problem. I will do it. I'm making a decision. I will love. I will not give in to my feelings. Glory to God. Father God, I just thank you for a simple but very straightforward word. And I thank you that it has found good ground. I declare, Lord God, that people will be changed simply because they will take this word and then nurture it, protect it, feed it, build on it. And I know your word never fails. Hallelujah. That you ought to be fed when you come out here on Wednesday night. So I thank God for getting to be the one to feed you. But it's only as we're fed with the finest of the wheat, the honey from the rock of God. Glory to God. So blessing of the Lord be upon you.